The real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in, and so on all day. C.S. Lewis. Wouldn't it be great if we started our day that way every day? I think it would have an impact on the outcome of our entire life if we took that wisdom to heart. Good morning. My name's Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at Adventure, and we are in a series, if you're visiting first time this morning, we're in a series on the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, somebody who's following Christ, somebody who has turned to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and made him the Lord of their life, the leader of their life. Scripture tells us that they then receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit in us. So we've covered a lot of really amazing things about the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. And as we wrap up on this series in the next 2 weeks, I've been praying a lot about what more do we cover? Because you could spend years on any subject like this and just begin to unpack. And so I wrestled a lot with how to spend the next 2 weeks. Sometimes this happens with me in preaching. Every now and then, I will have a particular week where I will wrestle more than any other time. And wrestle, I mean spending time with God, seeking him, looking for that, just that conviction of this is what God wants to say to us on this particular Sunday. And the days go by, and Sunday just keeps coming like a train. The light's coming down the tunnel. And I'm like, God, you got to give me what, how do we end this series, you know? How do we wrap this up? And it generally lands on some of the most simple messages I've given. So much study, tons of time studying over the last couple weeks for this week, this Sunday and next Sunday. And yet God brings it down to simplicity. What I want to do over the next 2 weeks is talk about walking by the Spirit. We've looked at some of the aspects, just a quick review of the Holy Spirit in our life, that he's involved in drawing us to God. So you can maybe remember that season of your life where you came to faith in Christ, and the Holy Spirit played a role in that. Maybe you're here this morning with that hunger in you to know who is God. And how do I know him? That's the Holy Spirit working in you. So I'm super glad that you're responding to that and that you're here. We're told that the Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal. He's called the Spirit of Sonship. And so the sonship, even for you women, the understanding of sonship, even in that understanding of the Holy Spirit, is inheritance. And so that's why it says Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, men, women, we all who come into Christ are sons in the sense of inheritance, because the firstborn son gets the inheritance. And so Jesus shares his inheritance with us. So the Holy Spirit is the seal, or this sign, or this guarantee of God saying, yep, you're my child, you're my child, you're my child, you have an inheritance with Christ in my kingdom. That we're indwelled by him, that we don't have to beg for the Holy Spirit to come flying over from some other country and come be with us this morning, that he lives in our hearts. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. He's our connection with the Father. He directs us in the Father's will and the Father God. So we spent the summer kind of studying God who fathers us. And so he's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can then know what the Father's will is. And so there's this sanctification, big word, which just means the Holy Spirit helps us become more and more and more like Christ and rooting out the areas of our lives that are going in a different direction. So he's our help in that. It's not just us trying to do it. We talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit or empowered by him, being baptized by him, immersed in the Holy Spirit for the work that he calls us to. And then we talked about the gifts. And we talked about a couple specific gifts, but there's many gifts listed in Scripture that the Holy Spirit gives as he wills to his followers to accomplish the will that he calls us to. So we looked a little bit at the gifts. And then we talked about in moving in those gifts, the motivation. Remember 1 Corinthians 13? That whole chapter is about love. So it's not about having some fancy spiritual gifts. It's not even about doing works. It says in 1 Corinthians, you could sell everything and give it to the poor. That sounds like a loving thing to do. But Paul's teaching us that if there isn't love, if there isn't a love, a core love that's coming from God, then it's worthless. I don't care if you sell everything and give it to the poor. There's all these other motivations that can be driving that. And Paul is reminding us to get back to the core of being in the Spirit, being in God. And that is always going to be driven by love. So we talked about that. But recently I asked somebody from our fellowship, why is the Holy Spirit vital in your life after all the study that we've done? And they were able to list all these things that I just listed. But even in the tone of how they were saying them, it was being communicated as information. And it just made me go, oh, have I missed it? Have I missed communicating the most important aspect of the Holy Spirit? And that's where I felt like God said, I want you to spend these last 2 weeks just focusing on something really simple. All that good stuff that I just talked about flows out of relationship with God. Okay? That's that analogy. A man can drown swimming in water, right? Sorry, missed that. He could drown. Well, if he's swimming in water, he's not going to drown. Let's try that again. A man could die of thirst, right, Jaden? Swimming in water. Isn't that true? You could. I mean, it could kind of happen if you were stranded out in the ocean with the salt water. You might die drinking the salt water. But we can be consumed with knowledge. And I think in America especially, we're capable of this, expending so much energy on understanding and knowledge. And yet, we're dying of thirst. So we're going to spend the next 2 weeks. This week, we're going to look at John chapter 15. And that's where Jesus explains about the vine and the branch, that he's a vine and we're a branch. We're going to look at that. And then next week, we're going to look at Galatians 5, which is where we get this phrase, walk by the Spirit. And Paul talks about the fruits of walking by the Spirit, and he talks about the works of walking by the flesh. And we'll look at that closer next week, as well as take a look at what's coming up in the end of this year and beginning next year, and how we're going to move through where we've been this last year in salt and light, talking about us being a community of salt and light that God calls us to, moving our feet and our hands and doing the things that we're learning about, so we're not just swimming in water, but we're drinking of it. So if you have your Bible this morning, you can open to John 15. I'm going to read a section of John 15. I'm not going to put the words up there. And it's fine if you just want to listen, actually. There's nothing wrong with that. But try to just listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to say here, and I'll pray. So Holy Spirit, we approach the Word of God not just as a book. God, we pray that you would give us understanding, that you would help us as we've learned some things or maybe been reminded of some things about how the Holy Spirit works in our life as believers. Lord, we pray right now that you would open your word to us and that you would help us to see truth in Jesus' words and where life comes from, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Jesus, in the context here, is approaching his sacrifice on the cross. He's has his last kind of hours with his disciples, and he's doing all this teaching. And so we know it's kind of boiled down to the most important things he wants to communicate to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And he says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So I brought something. I brought a branch off of my grapevine at home. Cut it off this morning. So do you think if we could just come together as a church, all of us, and come around this branch, and we've got strategists in this room, I know, incredible wisdom and intelligence. We've got creative people in this room. And can we just come together and work really hard to get some fruit to come out of this branch? Could we do it? All of us together, all the resources in this room. You don't think we could do it? You got an idea? Okay, but I don't want to do that. I just want us, we're here at church. Like, this is where stuff happens, right? We're here at church. I think if we could just come around this thing, and maybe we could even just pray over it. Lay hands on it. If we all were active, if everyone was doing something in this church, we could probably get fruit to come out of this. Don't you think? If we all work, as all these people work as hard as they can, we can't get fruit to come out of this. Fruit cake. We might be able to get fruit cake to come out of it. So what's the problem? I know this is like super simple. This is what God told me to do. Okay. It's cut off of the vine. So this is a branch, and there's a vine that's about that thick at home, and I cut this off, and without it being, this is as simple as Jesus is making it for us, as long as this branch is not in the vine, we're not going to get any fruit out of this, okay? So if you were to just take Jesus' words, okay, we're not going to get real fancy this morning. If you were just to take John 15 as Jesus is saying it and actually apply it to your life, actually, okay, Jesus is telling the truth here. He has my attention. Where would you spend most of your life's attention and focus and energy on this branch? probably on that end right there, okay? That's severed from the vine. I mean, if we just wanted to take this picture, that this example that Jesus is giving us, if we just wanted to simplify the Christian life, relationship with God, we would focus most of our time and energy on this cut-off branch that's going to wither and die if it's not plugged into the vine. It's pretty simple. Okay? I'll use that later. So what do you think, here's a question for you guys, you can interact here. What do you think Jesus meant or means when he says abide? Another word translated in some of the versions is remain in me. What does he mean when he says to abide? Come on, guys, just abide. Stay close and be obedient. Connect. Okay, but how do I do that? Where's the plug for God? How do I plug in? Like prayer. The word, prayer. Holy Spirit,
communication,
meditation, which means what?
Time
with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's like being present, like when something's on your mind, you go to Him about it, and when you're you see a great sunset, you go to Him, or you're alone, and your thoughts are just on Him.
Right.
Being present with
Him all the time. Instead of just, I'm going to plug in right now and charge up, and then I'm going to go through the rest of my day and not even think about God. Doesn't even cross my mind. That's not abiding. How does gardening work, guys? Can I take this over? Let's say the vine is right here in this wall, and I can just fill it up with energy, and then I can go over here and just set it on the table, and the grapes are going to come out. But tomorrow I need to go back over there again, right? Every morning you need to take it in, fill it back up, and then go set it over here. Okay, Jesus is trying to get into our thick skulls here, something really simple. It has to stay connected right here. So it must be possible. Is he asking us to do something that's impossible? Okay, so it has to stay connected somehow. Okay, so what's the problem? What stands in the way of us abiding, usually? If abiding is what you guys are saying, which is right on, it's time with Him. Another way to look at it is how many people are kind of history buffs and they know a lot about, say, the presidents of the United States? Nobody. Okay, what's another big figure? Huh? Sports, okay. Knows something about, what's a big sports figure that people might know a lot of facts about? Michael Jordan, okay. Who knows a bunch about Michael Jordan? I don't care if nobody knows. Okay, because we have to move on, right? So let's say somebody in here is an expert on Michael Jordan. They know where he was born. They know what his childhood was like. They know how he came into fame in basketball. They know all the stats. They know his relationships with his coaches and how that went because they've read tons of stuff about him. They don't know Michael Jordan. They don't know him. And I fear that, probably not talking about anybody in this room, but sometimes we can totally be just like that with God. Absolutely like that. In fact, even focusing on how much more can I learn about this guy, about this God, facts and figures, that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to do that with the Holy Spirit as we round out this series. So one of the biggest things that stands in the way, it's the branch on the ground. One of the biggest things that stands in the way of us abiding, staying, not plugging in and then ripping it off, and then drying up, and oh my gosh, I gotta go back and get back in the vine, is leadership and control. I think that is probably one of the number one things that stands in our way, is leadership control. Something that we hold on to with white knuckles in our life. Because to do what Caleb described, to just, even in, not even in leadership areas, just like, wow, beautiful sunset, nice one, God. Beautiful painting. So just to be connected with him in that way. And then in areas of our life that he's trying to get to, because if we're tapped in, his life's flowing through us, and that starts to bring up the areas of our lives that aren't mixing with his life that wants to flow in us and wants to take over. Are you okay with the idea that God wants to take over your life? If you're not okay with that, you're not going to get very far in your walk with God. Because he actually wants to own you. Like, he wants you to die, and he wants to bring his life into you. Why is that funny, Amanda? Well, I'm using the word of God. Many, many times it says we have to die before we can live. Okay? So, I know why you're laughing too. I'm saying it that way on purpose to make you laugh, okay? Dramatic effect. So, there's this leadership thing. Romans 8. This is out of Romans 8, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is actually, I inserted the word actually, life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Submission. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Can't do it. You can't please God, you can't bear fruit. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so if this branch is your life, if it's in the flesh, and the flesh here is representing like our sinful nature that we were created with before Christ came and we received that work that Christ did for us to change us into new creations, okay? And now our life is continuing to turn over all those sinful desires, not trying to not obey them. That's like gathering around this and trying to get fruit to come out of it, good fruit. And Paul's saying here in Romans, again, reinforcing what Jesus said, it's not going to happen. But we spend a lot of energy approaching it just that way. Who cares about this end here that's cut off? Let's focus on these little things and trying to get leaves to come out of them and then some fruit to form. And that's the works. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to be better in this area of my life. I'm going to love my spouse because I'm going to decide to. There's something can come out of that, but it's not going to be the fruit of God if you're plugged into him. Because what I'm saying is if that's in the setting of this being severed, like no connection with God, no abiding in him, then it is your works, and it's going to crash at some point. This is going to wither at some point. But if it's in the setting of being plugged into the vine, then that desire to grow in those areas and desire to love your spouse better, to stop doing something that's not right, that's actually coming from his flow of life in you. And so there can be fruit that comes out of that because it's not just you cut off. So what does this look like? You know, for me, this has been the area of my life that God's just been continuing to drill into me over the years of walking with him. I want to finish a story that I started with you guys at the beginning of the year, a hunting story, okay? So it's taken me a year to tell you this story. And some of you weren't there for the beginning of the story, so I have to catch you up real quick. But in hunting and in bow hunting, One of the endeavors for me is to, it's a recreational activity, right? But to do that with God, kind of like Caleb's saying about just being with God in everything. So I'm present with God when I'm hunting, conscious of him. And last year, so last about a year from right now, the end of the season last year, I had a horrible, horrible recurring situations where I would encounter these beautiful bucks and they'd get away. And so some of you are like, yay, if you don't like hunting. But for me, it was like, God, why are you giving me these opportunities and then taking them away? That's how I felt, like he was doing, like he was a part of that somehow. And he got me to the place at the end of that season where he said, Jeff, if all you had was me, would that be enough? And it made me go, oh, man, I'm really looking for life. I'm like trying to tap into hunting and this recreation to find my life. Lord, you would be enough. And that was all warm and fuzzy. And so the next time I went out hunting, I just knew how God was going to end the story and I was going to get my deer and we can move on with life. And it didn't happen. It ended the last day of the season with another big buck. Easy opportunity, and it got away from me. So that ended last season. This season started. Had awesome success. My two sons got deer on our first trip. I got my first elk, and I shared that with you guys. It's been years of trying. So super happy with that, but I hadn't got my deer yet. So I went out to this same piece of property where I'd had these issues, and I was like, okay, Lord, how's this story going to end? And time after time, I had the same situation happen. It was like I was in the Twilight Zone, if you're old enough to remember the Twilight Zone. Just something was off. Something was weird. And I walked with God in that. Lord, what are you trying to show me? Should I stop trying? Is that what you're telling me? And I felt like in my heart, not a voice like speaking out, but just tapped into the mind, I felt like what God was communicating to me was, Jeff, I want you to pursue me in prayer as with as much vigilance as you're trying to get one of these deer. And so I also felt like that was a confirmation. One, it was like, you're right, Lord. Like, this should be, this end of this branch should be everything to me. If the branch is ever in this condition, that should be blaring in my life. And I should be clearing everything out to go, I've got to get this thing back in the vine. I got to remain, abide in him. And so that woke me up. And so I was able to rest in that and just continue to hunt this season, knowing that, and I'm supposed to keep pursuing these deer, and every time it's a reminder to me. And I had a couple of more times where they were getting away from me, and I was like, oh, God, this is difficult. Well, then there came this one day where I was out hunting, and you got to understand, the night before, my family and I were watching this TV series. We've been watching this TV series for a few years. And on the episode the night before I went out hunting, there's this one dad in this, he has grown kids and he's facing this health issue and he doesn't want to share it with his kids. And he's super concerned about it, but he's holding on to it. And so he meets this one guy, and this other guy that he meets while he's traveling is encouraging him to talk, to face his fears and to talk to his family, okay? Well, there's a symbolism in the episode of this falcon. And this falcon keeps showing up at every moment where he's thinking about, some of you are like, oh yeah, I saw that episode. It keeps showing up, okay? And so that was the night before. and that's kind of this reminder that, you know, it wasn't a Christian reference at all. But it was kind of this as close to, as this TV show would get to spirituality of this falcon showing up to remind him, you really need to go after this. This is the right path. You need to share with your family what you're struggling with. So I go out hunting the next morning. and I go out with one of my sons, and we're driving through this property. Big buck, get out. Easy opportunity, gets away. I'm like, man, just keeps happening, Lord. I trust you with this. 10, 15 minutes later, see the biggest buck I've seen in Western Washington on this property. And I miss it, and it's like 20 yards away. Okay, and most of you are just like, Jeff, you just need to get your bow checked out or do some more practice. Did all that. I can hit a target. So I went after this buck, kind of disappeared into the trees, and I went to the edge of the trees, and I'm like, okay, God, I get it. Like, I'm going to pursue you. What are you trying to get at here? And what flies up and lands in a tree right next to me? A falcon. Okay? I'm telling you this story because you can actually walk with and experience God. Now, some of you are just like, oh, that's a coincidence. Well, that's fine. You can think that if you want. But I've been walking with God in every moment of this. And it was a falcon. It wasn't a pigeon or a blue jay or even a hawk. It was a falcon. And to me, it didn't say there's some significance to the TV show I watched. To me, it was God using my everyday life and saying, I've got you, Jeff. Just rest in this. And this peace fell over me to go, I could pursue these bucks for the rest of my life if it will remind me to press into you and stay plugged into you. And I went back up to the truck, and we pulled down. We actually saw some more bucks, and they were little ones, and they ran off where I couldn't go. Turned around and was driving out of there, and there's a buck standing on the side of the road. And I got out, and I harvested it. A year. Finally. But it was at that moment of peace that it settled in with me. Now, why hunting is, like I said, it's a recreation. I'm trying to show you some examples of where your everyday life can abide with God. I could have just gone hunting and said a couple cuss words and broken my bow and arrow over my knee after about four deer got away from me. But we can walk with God in everything in our lives. What's that? It's not a wooden bow. It would not have gone well for me. Jesus gives us an example of abiding. So, you know, I think you guys are on with your examples of how to abide. Matthew 14, these are all speaking about Jesus. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Mark 6, after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Luke 6, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Mark 1, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Luke 5, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Luke 9, and it happened that while he was praying alone, disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, who do the people say that I am? Matthew 26, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. One more, Luke 11. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. So we get this picture of connection that, like Jesus said, as I am in you, Father, let them be in me. I'm saying all this because I honestly want to ask the question, and it's for you to answer for yourself, what does this look like for you? Like, really think about your life. Because, like I've been saying, it's kind of a waste of time if your relationship with God is just like this. And we can feel it when we're not tapped in. Sometimes, so just something God brought to my attention this morning. You know, when we're facing a really busy or really critical season of our life, it's usually what goes is our connection with God, because we need the time. That's the worst decision you can possibly make in your life. It's the worst decision you can make, to cut off your connection with God in those times. It's like saying, the picture he gave to me this morning was, it's like you have some really physical activity that you have to face, something really draining that you have to do, and you decide, I'm not going to eat or drink any water before I go do that. And then I'm going to give it my all. It's the worst decision you can make. You know, it was while I was abiding a few years back. Abiding meaning just, I went and visited, my mom passed away a few years ago, but I went and visited her in the hospital one evening on my way to some conference I was going to out in Everett. And I stopped in and saw her there, had a good conversation with her, and then I left, and just praying as I was driving away from there to the conference, and then praying while I was at the conference, just something was on my heart, and a lot of times we'll just stuff those feelings, but I was like, God, what are you trying to get at? And he's like, I want you to go back, and I want you to be with your mom and pray with her and just talk to her. And so I went back. I was like, that's kind of weird. You know, I just went and visited her, and now I'm going to this conference, and then I'm going to go home, just show back up at the hospital. And so I went there. It was the last time I got to have a conversation with my mom. And that's the fruit of abiding. Wouldn't have happened if I didn't listen to what God was saying to me, if I wasn't plugged in. Oftentimes when I pray for people just out in the community, whether I'm working, cleaning windows at their house, or just on the streets or wherever, it's just, God, do you want to say something to that person? Do you want me to start a conversation? Do you want me to pray, offer to pray for them? Do you want? And it's not just me going, I'm going to pray for everybody I see. It's, Lord, what do you want me to do? Wow, I feel like you're really pulling me to reach out to this person. And there's so much fruit that comes because it's not me working. It's abiding. And I don't always get it right. I don't always live like that. But when I do, fruit comes. And so that's the simple message from John 15 this morning. Gee, I wonder if what Jesus said is really true. I can't bear any fruit in my life if I'm not abiding in the vine. But I can bear much fruit if I am. And we're going to look at how that connects to Paul's description of fruit in Galatians next week, and what that looks like. It's family service. I'm excited to have the kids in here. And we'll do some fun stuff to look at what the fruits look like. But this is the question that I hope is ringing in our ears this week. I hope you're envisioning the end of this cut-off branch, which symbolizes death, and the kind of death that can't produce any fruit, versus the dying to yourself and then being plugged in. And then you're going to picture this wall here like it's the vine, right? Being plugged in, and ask yourself, are you? Are you abiding? Worship team, if you want to come up, I want to just draw your attention to something as a challenge. You know, we have our read through the Bible in 4 months challenge that we're doing, and the intentionality of that is discipline. Really, it's forcing you to say no to other things so that you have time for his word. Same for the category of prayer in connecting with God. I don't care if you sit in front of God for an hour and it's just silence. It's going to be better than not doing that. I promise you, over time, he'll start to fill that. He'll start to speak to you. You'll have things to say to him. A simple formula, if formula even is the right word, to spend some time abiding There's the papers under your seats. This is just one way, maybe to offer a step towards that, and it's give, receive, follow. There's a simple kind of walk through. How could I give? Like you sit up in your bed in the morning, and like C.S. Lewis said, that's the first thing you do is decide that this day I am actually going to give my life to God, to be in Him and let His life flow through me. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to look at the areas of my life that I need to give over. Instead of just jump up, I know what I'm doing today. I'm going to lead my life. I'm in control. I'll catch up with God at some point today when I really need it. This is a challenge to you if that's how you live your life, to try a different way. And like I said, it's not plug it in, fill it up, and then rip it off of the vine and go on with your day. It's walking through the day with God, but starting it here. So give, receive, follow. You can take these home. I'm just going to pray, and we're going to sing our closing song. But I challenge you, if you don't have a way that you're abiding throughout your day, start with this. Or you may have something else that's helpful to guide you through that. But Lord, I just want to pray over each one of us this morning with such a simple message. God, would you help us, first off, to not complicate this, to not distract ourselves with information, but just to sit in John 15, to sit in your picture of being this vine that wants to produce fruit. And your offer is for us to be in you, to come to you, to allow your fruit to come out in us. God, your fruit isn't just sharing our faith with others. Your fruit is love and joy and peace and patience and all the fruits of the Spirit. And if those fruits are hanging on us, people are going to want to know who you are and how you've made this fruit come out of our lives. So I just pray for the person here this morning who knows they're looking at a cut-off branch. And they've been going for quite a while drying up like that. And there is something you call us to do. It's not to work harder. It's to abide. And so I pray that they would take that step today and throughout this week and just spend time with you. Help this guide or whatever resources you want to put in their hands, help them to start opening up that connection with you, Lord. And help us as a church to be a bunch of branches that are in the vine bearing fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.